Islamic parables timeless and bright, bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables, Islamic parables.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا حَبِيبَ اللَّهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا نَبِيَّ اللَّهِ وَعَلَى آلِكَ وَأَصْحَابِكَ يَا نُورَ اللَّهِ Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome marhaba to another episode of the series Islamic Parables. Inshallah Azawajal, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss the parables of Allah's remembrance. Before that, let's first and foremost recite salawat to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear brothers, someone once presented a bird as a gift to the famous wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Junaid al-Baghdadi rahimahullah. He kept the bird with him for a short while, but soon he set it free. He was asked, "Why did you free it?" He replied, "This bird said to me, O Junaid, you yourself move about freely wherever you wish and meet your friends and companions, yet you have kept me imprisoned. Set me free as well, so that I too may meet my companions and fly freely." Hearing this, he said, "I set the bird free." Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah says, "When I released the bird, it said to me, O Junaid, I was imprisoned because one day I became heedless of the remembrance of Allah Almighty. I promise you that from now on, I will never become negligent of the remembrance of Allah Almighty again. O Junaid, if I became imprisoned merely for becoming heedless of the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal for one day, then what will happen to those humans who remain heedless of Allah's remembrance throughout their entire lives?" After giving this advice, the bird flew away. Allama Safuri rahimahullah, he writes regarding this incident that the bird began repeatedly returning to Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah, and it became attached to him. Eventually, whenever he would sit at the dining mat to eat, the bird would also come and sit upon the dining mat, eating food and picking grains alongside him. When Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah passed away, the bird fell to the ground and began withering in distress. After struggling and trembling for some time, the bird too passed away. After the passing of Sayyidina Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah, someone saw him in a dream and asked, "Ma fa'alallahu bika? How did Allah Almighty deal with you?" He replied, "I showed mercy to a speechless bird, so Allah Almighty showed mercy to me." From this faith-refreshing parable, we receive many pearls of wisdom and guidance, among which some, inshallah, Azza wa Jal will go through. The bird that became heedless of the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal became imprisoned. The matter is similar even for inanimate objects and plants. A hadith that states, "An axe only strikes a tree when it becomes heedless of the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal." All birds, inanimate objects, and everything in this world remembers Allah Almighty, and their tongues remain moist in His remembrance at all times. Another point we learn is that through the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the noble saints rahimahumullah can converse with birds and understand their speech. We also learn that kindness should be shown even towards animals and birds. Therefore, those who keep animals should reflect deeply on this matter. Nowadays, people place a few plastic flowers inside their small glass showcases and keep colorful little fish in them in the small aquarium. Those delightful little fish repeatedly strike their mouths against the glass as they search for a way out, mistaking it for water. And the onlookers, they enjoy watching the scene. Such people should reflect that these fish that are there, trapped, they freely swim in the vast ocean. That's their habitat. Yet today, these helpless creatures are cruelly confined in a tiny glass tank. Although keeping fish in a glass tank is not haram, but still we should think. If we ourselves were confined to a single room, what would happen to us? Certainly, despite having every worldly comfort available to our at our disposal, life would become unbearable. However, one should never oppress any creation of Allah without any reason. It may be that this very cruelty becomes the cause of our destruction in the hereafter. A hadith mentions that a woman was punished for imprisoning a cat. She neither fed it nor she gave it water, nor did she release it so it could go and find food for itself until it eventually died. Although keeping birds is not unlawful or haram, if someone keeps them, food should be provided so that they may continue eating and drinking comfortably without suffering any hardship. As for keeping fish inside glass tanks, this is nothing more than a hobby. Reflect for a moment. What must these poor creatures go through in that confinement? In open water, they are completely free and go wherever they wish. You may have noticed that these tiny fish repeatedly strike the glass with their mouths because it is transparent like water, and they assume it is water. The pain they must feel from continuously colliding with the glass can only be understood by someone with compassion. Some people are extremely sensitive and they are soft-hearted. It is narrated that a man once struck his horse forcefully with a whip. Nearby, a pious elder was seated on a cot, and the pain of seeing this affected him so deeply that the mark of the whip appeared upon his own back. Now, if we show mercy to the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, then inshallah we too shall be shown mercy. But na'udhu billah, if we oppress others unjustly, then we may be seized on the day of judgment. Remember, slaughtering halal animals such as goats is not cruel because Sharia has permitted their slaughter. However, there are still various ways in which people oppress animals during slaughter. For example, while slaughtering a goat or sheep, some cut so deeply that the knife reaches the spinal cord. Remember, the spinal cord extends from the neck to the end of the back, excluding the tail. From this bone emerges a white cord called the spinal cord, and eating that cord is haram. However, many people are unaware of this. Along with chops and meat that they consume, this spinal cord, the white cord, is often included. And many people unknowingly, they eat it, thinking it is part of the meat. If the butcher is skilled, he separates this white cord from the meat and discards it. A chicken's neck also contains the same white cord, the spinal cord, and it too should not be eaten. Alhamdulillah, I learnt it at home by my mother. Whenever I would go, she would send me to buy chicken, and when I would go to the butcher, she would tell me to ask the butcher to remove the spinal cord. She would take care of that. And now when I go to buy, let's say, mutton at the butcher shop, I have to remind the blockman to remove the spinal cord from there, because they usually don't. So if when you go to the butcher shops, normally here in South Africa, I'm saying, you should remind the blockman or your butcher to remove the spinal cord from the chops and the meat that you're buying. And if they haven't, then you should, it's upon you to find and remove it. Now, while slaughtering an animal, allowing the knife to reach the spinal cord is causing unnecessary pain, because in slaughter, only 4 veins are to be cut. Even if 3 veins are cut, or most of all 4 are cut, the animal still becomes halal. Some butchers, especially during the days of Qurbani, are seen quickly running the knife across the goat's neck, then partially cutting the head and suddenly snapping the neck with force. Even though some life still remains in the animal, if such cruel people are advised, instead of accepting their mistake, they start to argue and they want to quarrel with you. Such people should think that if their own necks were broken in this manner, what would happen to them? To treat a speechless animal, one that can neither harm anyone nor complain to anyone, with such cruelty is a tremendous crime. Likewise, some cruel butchers, while slaughtering cows and buffaloes and other animals, they tear the skin off the neck and thrust the knife inward until they cut the veins of the heart. Just think for a moment. The helpless cow, whose legs are tied, is held down by several people after being thrown to the ground. Then, while still alive, its skin is peeled back. The knife is turned inside its body to cut the veins of the heart. And afterward, people stand beside it holding knives like victorious warriors who have conquered a mighty fortress. This method of slaughtering is certainly cruelty upon the animal and causes it unnecessary pain. For those whose hearts are filled with compassion, this is extremely painful to witness. Wherever your words are heard, try to stop such cruelty during Qurbani. Remember, when our hearts become compassionate and merciful towards animals, then inshallah azza wa jal, we will receive a reward and society will improve as a result. Because if we show mercy to animals, then showing mercy to humans is even more necessary. At the beginning of today's discussion, we mentioned the incident regarding Sayyidina Junayd Baghdadi rahimahullah. And he was presented with the bird, and that bird was imprisoned. And why it was imprisoned? Because one day it became heedless of the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Along the similar lines, another interesting incident is that a pious elder once came to the riverbank with his young daughter and began catching fish. Whenever he caught fish, he would hand them to his daughter so she could place them into the basket. After some time, when he finished fishing, he noticed that the basket was empty. He asked his daughter, "Where did the fish go?" She replied, "Dear father, you had told me that only those fish are caught in a fisherman's net that become heedless of the remembrance of Allah Almighty. So whenever you handed me a fish, I would think perhaps this was one of those fish that had become negligent of the remembrance of Allah. I would hold its mouth and release it back into the water, saying, 'Look, you became heedless of the remembrance of Allah Almighty, and that is why you were trapped in our net. I am giving you another chance. Do not become heedless of the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla again.'" Alongside this, another thought also came to my mind. What if by eating these heedless fish, we too become heedless of the remembrance of Allah Almighty? No one should misinterpret this incident as meaning that eating fish is not allowed or anything like that. Remember, fish is halal. Only that fish is haram which dies naturally in the water and floats upside down to the surface. Now keep this principle firmly in mind, that every water creature besides fish is haram. Eating crab is haram because it is not a fish. Rather, it is an animal that lives in water. There is disagreement among scholars regarding shrimp. Some scholars say shrimp is a fish, while others say it is not. The Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Firza Khan, Ali Rahmatul Rahman, he says eating shrimp is khilafi awla, meaning it is better not to eat it. Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi, rahimahullah, he says that there is disagreement regarding shrimp as to whether it is a fish or not. As a result, there is also disagreement over its permissibility and impermissibility. Apparently, its appearance does not resemble that of a fish. Rather, it looks more like an insect. Therefore, it is better to avoid it. Dear brothers, whether they are birds or any other living creatures, all of them glorify Allah Almighty and remain absorbed in His remembrance. As Allah Azza wa Jal states in Surah Bani Israel, verse number 44, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. And there is no such thing which exists except that it glorifies Him with His praise. While explaining this verse of the Holy Quran, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi rahimahullah, he says that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma says, every living thing glorifies Allah Almighty, and the glorification of every creation is according to its condition. He rahimahullah further states, the Quranic commentators have said that even the sound of a door opening and the creaking of a roof are forms of tasbih, and the tasbih of all these things is Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Birds and animals, they all proclaim the glorification of Allah Almighty in their own languages. Apni apni chahak, apni apni sada. Subhanallah. As Huzur Mufti Azam Hind Rahmatullahi Ta'ala says, they all make dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in their own way. While they are chirping, while they are crying, Subhanallah. Different creatures, different animals, bird species. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was once passing through a jungle while engaged in the remembrance of Allah Almighty. Suddenly, a thought came to him that perhaps, besides him, no one in that jungle was remembering Allah Almighty. Allah Azza wa Jal commanded all the birds, beasts and animals to raise their voices in his remembrance. Instantly, the sound of zikr began echoing from every direction, mingling with the birds and animals. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam immediately understood the matter and he fell into sajda, seeking forgiveness from Allah Almighty, and he asked, O Allah, is your remembrance also taking place beneath the earth? Allah Azza wa Jal commanded, اضرب بعصا على الأرض. Strike the earth with your staff. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam struck the ground with his staff, and the earth split open, gushing water appeared from within. Then he was commanded to strike the water as well. He struck the water with his staff, and the water split apart, revealing a black stone. By the command of Allah Almighty, he struck the stone as well, and it split into two pieces. From within that stone emerged a green creature engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked, how old are you? The creature replied, 300 years old. He asked, what's your occupation? And the creature replied, is there any occupation more important than the remembrance of Allah? O Musa, I remain engaged in the remembrance of Allah azza wa jal at all times. Water is presented to me twice a day, but I do not drink from fear that perhaps while occupied in drinking, death may come upon me and I die in a state of heedlessness from the remembrance of Allah Almighty. After saying this, the green creature disappeared. The stone returned to the bottom of the water and the earth returned to its original state. Dear brothers, even the creatures beneath the earth, they glorify and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding this, another incident is presented by Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He narrates that the Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, was reciting Zabur in his blessed home when suddenly a red worm appeared from the soil. A thought came into his heart, I wonder why this worm was created. By the command of Allah Almighty, the worm spoke to Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, saying that, O Prophet of Allah, during the daytime, Allah Almighty places in my heart that every day I should recite 1,000 times, Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar. And my nights pass in such a way that by the grace and command of Allah Azza wa Jal, every night I recite 1,000 times this salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin nabiyyil ummiyyi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. O Prophet of Allah, tell me what benefit and blessing should I gain from you? After hearing the speech from that worm, Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, he repented out of the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and placed his trust in Him. Now, this red worm has truly shaken us awake that it recites 1,000 times during the day, Subhanallahi walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar, and 1,000 times salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at night. While our condition is such that we cannot even recite salat 100 times a day, let alone 1,000 times. If we find ourselves in an environment of useless gatherings and idle talk, we spend hours there without boredom, mocking and ridiculing others. We always have time for jokes and fun remarks and entertainment. If a TV is available, we spend hours watching movies, etc., constantly changing channels with the remote, searching for new shows. And if an opportunity arises to listen to music, we continue listening to it for hours without boredom, despite the severe warnings about it. In gatherings of gossip and idle talk, people openly lie just to make others laugh. Even though the hadith says, destruction is for the one who lies in order to make people laugh. Unfortunately, nowadays, many people seem trapped in the calamity of lying. Lies are not only told to make people laugh, they are also spoken about in many other contexts. The condition has now reached the point where people no longer feel any shame or disgrace in lying. In fact, lying has begun to be viewed as a skill. Nowadays, whoever deceives customers through lies, sweet talk and trickery in order to sell goods is considered a successful salesman. On the other hand, if a poor person conducts business honestly and openly informs customers about product defects, people call him foolish and mock him. People today have developed the mindset that you cannot survive without lying. But it doesn't have to be that way. If you study psychology, I was just studying a book and I came across a fact that when you speak a lie, it triggers a region in the brain, and that brain, it produces negative energy, negative response. So it has a negative impact on your brain every time you lie. So while you think that by lying, you are being smart and nothing is happening to you, no, you are harming yourself psychologically, you are corrupting yourself. And the la'nat of Allah is upon those who lie. It is the root of all evil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to always speak the truth. Ameen bijahil nabiyyil ameen. In earlier times, a believer and a disbeliever went out to catch fish. The disbeliever kept invoking the names of his false gods and continued catching large amounts of fish until heaps gathered before him. The believer continued casting his net while taking the name of Allah Almighty, yet he caught nothing. By evening, only one fish had become trapped in his net, but it too struggled and jumped and slipped back into the water. Thus, the believer returned empty-handed, while the disbeliever returned with baskets full of fish. The angel appointed over the believer felt saddened. The Almighty then showed that angel at the believer's palace and lofty rank in paradise. Upon seeing it, the angel spontaneously cried out, "By Allah, after entering such a magnificent palace, this Muslim fisherman will never even care about the hardship of failing to catch fish." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the angel the disbeliever's place in hell. Seeing it, the angel said, "By Allah, once he reaches this place of punishment, the temporary joy of obtaining heaps of fish in the world would be of no benefit to him." Dear brothers, even if, hypothetically speaking, customers stop buying because we speak the truth, let them leave. Our love for Allah Almighty and His beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should never break. Remember, even if honesty causes a decrease in business, it doesn't matter. The Lord of the worlds, who sustains all creation, will continue to provide us sustenance as long as we are alive. He will not leave us hungry. Even if someone builds mansions and buys luxurious cars through bribery and interest-based dealings, lies in business and the sales of adulterated goods, we should never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Nor should we think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unaware of our condition. Remember, the Almighty is testing us. Soon, death will come to us as well as to the one who amassed wealth through haram means. But if Allah Almighty wills, then compared to Him, our condition will be far more enviable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make the dhikr of Allah azza wa jalla in abundance and make truth flow on our tongue, and may Allah azza wa jalla prevent us from speaking lies. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear brothers, alhamdulillah, as during every other silsila, we listen to a beautiful and melodious kalam. Inshallah, azawajal, today as well, we have a kalam that we are going to listen to. Let's go and listen to the kalam, and thereafter we shall be back and continue with our today's discussion. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi. وصحبه اجمعين وسلم
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا
جب اشارہ ہو گیا جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ
ڈوبتوں کا یا نبی کہتے ہی بیڑا پار تھا ڈوبتوں کا یا نبی کہتے ہی بیڑا پار تھا ڈوبتوں کا یا نبی کہتے ہی بیڑا پار تھا، غم کنارے ہو گئے پیدا کنارہ ہو گیا، غم کنارے ہو گئے پیدا کنارہ ہو گیا، جب اشارہ ہو گیا، جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا،
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا، موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا،
تیری طلعت سے زمین کے ذرے مہ پارے بنے، تیری طلعت سے زمین کے ذرے مہ پارے بنے، تیری طلعت سے زمین کے ذرے مہ پارے بنے، تیری ہیبت سے فلک کا مہ دو پارا ہو گیا، تیری ہیبت سے فلک کا مہ دو پارا ہو گیا، جب اشارہ ہو گیا، جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا،
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا، موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا،
یوں تو سب پیدا ہوئے گئے آپ ہی کے واسطے، یوں تو سب پیدا ہوئے گئے آپ ہی کے واسطے، یوں تو سب پیدا ہوئے گئے آپ ہی کے واسطے، قسمت اس کی ہے جسے کہہ دو ہمارا ہو گیا، قسمت اس کی ہے جسے کہہ دو ہمارا ہو گیا، جب اشارہ ہو گیا، جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا،
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا، موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا،
تیرے سانے سے کوئی پوچھے تیرا حسن و جمال، تیرے سانے سے کوئی پوچھے تیرا حسن و جمال، تیرے سانے سے کوئی پوچھے تیرا حسن و جمال، خود بنایا اور بنا کر خود ہی پیارا ہو گیا، خود بنایا اور بنا کر خود ہی پیارا ہو گیا، جب اشارہ ہو گیا، جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا،
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا، موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا،
تو ہی نے تو مصر میں یوسف کو یوسف کر دیا، تو ہی نے تو مصر میں یوسف کو یوسف کر دیا، تو ہی نے تو مصر میں یوسف کو یوسف کر دیا، تو ہی تو یعقوب کی آنکھوں کا تارا ہو گیا، تو ہی تو یعقوب کی آنکھوں کا تارا ہو گیا، جب اشارہ ہو گیا، جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا،
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا، موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا،
ہم بھکاری کیا ہماری بھیک کس گنتی میں ہے، ہم بھکاری کیا ہماری بھیک کس گنتی میں ہے، ہم بھکاری کیا ہماری بھیک کس گنتی میں گئے، تیرے در سے بادشاہوں کا گزارا ہو گیا، تیرے در سے بادشاہوں کا گزارا ہو گیا، جب اشارہ ہو گیا، جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا،
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا، موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا،
اے حسن قربان جاؤں اس جمال پاک پر، اے حسن قربان جاؤں اس جمال پاک پر، اے حسن قربان جاؤں اس جمال پاک پر، سینکڑوں پردوں میں رہ کر عالم آرا ہو گیا، سینکڑوں پردوں میں رہ کر عالم آرا ہو گیا، جب اشارہ ہو گیا، جب اشارہ ہو گیا مطلب ہمارا ہو گیا،
موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا، موت یہ مطلب تمہارا ہر اشارہ ہو گیا۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم۔ ویلکم بیک ٹو یور ویوز۔ الحمدللہ، وی ور لسننگ ٹو دس بیوٹیفل کلام، اینڈ ناؤ وی آر بیک ڈسکسنگ دی پیرابلز آف ذکر اللہ، ریممبرنس آف اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی۔ دا ون ہو earns the most wealth in this world is not worthy of envy. Truly that person is enviable who enters the grave with his faith intact. At every place there are thieves of faith, and Satan attacks faith in countless ways. Protecting one's faith is an extremely serious matter. Negligence, obsession with worldly life, making worldly gain the sole purpose of life, keeping the company of evil people, and many other calamities surround us. In such times, if someone's faith remains intact, it is certainly a tremendous blessing. Unfortunately, we do not even worry about the safety of our faith. If we truly cared about protecting our iman, then we would flee from misguided, corrupt, and evil company, as we have been commanded to do. The Almighty states in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 68, "And if Satan causes you to forget, then upon remembering, do not sit with the oppressors." The Quranic commentators state that here, the unjust people, it refers to the disbelievers, innovators, misguided and corrupt sects, and open sinners. It is possible that someone's worldly life becomes prosperous through such company, but his hereafter becomes ruined, and sometimes even his worldly life is destroyed as well. Love of the world, greed for material wealth, and negligence are the reasons why Muslims today have fallen into destruction and ruin. If the Muslim's tongue remained moist with the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, and his heart remained filled with the remembrance of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, then matters would never have reached this point. But unfortunately, the situation is quite opposite. Previously, when a person opened his eyes in the morning, the name of Allah Almighty would reach his ears. But today, when a person wakes up, songs echo into his ears. Previously, one would open his eyes and see pure and righteous faces. Today, people, when they open their phones and stare at shameless images of women, remember, the punishment for unlawful gazes is extremely terrifying. It is narrated that whoever fills his eyes with unlawful gazes on the day of judgment, his eyes will be filled with fire. It is narrated from Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu that whoever sits near a singing woman and listens to her singing, Allah Almighty will pour molten lead into his ears on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. May Allah Azza wa Jal safeguard us. Ameen bijahi nabiyyina wa nabiyyina. Dear brothers, we have a beautiful Madani pearl of advice and nasiha. Let's go inshallah and listen to the nasiha, and thereafter we shall be back and continue with our today's discussion and move towards the conclusion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam.
In the chaos of life, Allah Azza wa Jal has given us five divine poses. Salah is not a burden, it's a lifeline. It's your daily meeting with the one who created you, the one who sustains you, who sees your struggles, hears your silent pain, and knows exactly what you need, even when you yourself may not. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِلذِّكْرِ, and establish prayer to remember me, to remember Allah. Prayer isn't just about movement, it's about presence, it's about realignment. Every sajda reminds you, this world isn't your destination. Every time you raise your hands for takbir, you say Allahu Akbar, you lift away some of your distractions. If you ever feel lost and disconnected or anxious, return to prayer. Not just as a duty, but as a meeting you long for. Because five times a day, the Lord of the worlds, the creator of me and you, invites you. This is an appointment not to be missed. Never miss a single appointment. Never miss a single salah. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Welcome back to your viewers. Alhamdulillah. We were discussing the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now that we have come to the end of our today's discussion, the remembrance of Allah azza wa jal can be done in many ways. And there are many, many different ways in which we can make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reciting the Holy Quran. One way of remembering Allah azza wa jal is reciting the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes just saying Allah, 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 performing tasbih, saying Ya Rahman, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, saying Ya Ghaffar, Ya Sami', contemplating the bounties of Allah Azza wa Jal. Mention how many bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has bestowed upon you, His blessings upon you, by thinking of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal created the world and beholding the wonders that it contains. One will then think of Allah Azza wa Jal's endless majesty and honor. This is the zikr of one's eyes. Listening to Allah's zikr, listening to adhan, listening to tilawat of the Holy Quran is the zikr of one's ears. Occupying your heart with thoughts of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is the zikr of one's heart. Reciting or listening to poetic praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also a form of zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Talking about the pious people of Allah Azza wa Jal and reading about their lives, their biographies, it is also a form of zikrullah. The scholars of Islam even say that to read or listen to the accounts regarding Allah's enemies and their evil outcomes is also a form of zikrullah, because these such accounts are mentioned in the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep our tongues, our hearts and our mind engrossed in the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Islamic parables. Islamic parables. Timeless and bright. Bringing the soul to the path of light. Islamic parables.